This is Arizona Edition on KAWC. I'm Lou Gumm. My guest today is Jim Schuessler, President and CEO of Yuma Multiversity Campus, Inc. Schuessler is tasked with guiding the planning and community input involved in what could be a major expansion of higher education in our region. We started by discussing what the Yuma Multiversity is and how the idea has evolved.
You know, to understand it, I kind of go back to the beginning, and I can tell you that the city of Yuma, for example, has been looking in its planning documents over the course of the last 40 years at attracting more opportunity for higher education to be offered here rather than distant cities. So the project has gone through changes over time. Originally, there was a concept of maybe attracting a college or university to come here and offer four-year degrees beyond the two-year degrees that are offered by AWC. In 2017, there were some meetings and a lot of engagement on that, and the plan really morphed into saying, hey, listen, we've got world-class universities in the state of Arizona, three of them. Some are already doing good work here in Yuma. Let's look and see if we can get resources behind these universities. The goal is to find out more of what are the direct needs, the career path needs of our existing primary employers that aren't offered here. And what can we do to get resources for our universities so that they can offer more of those career paths to people that hope to advance their education but don't want to take on the cost of room and board by living in a distant city?
You mentioned this a little bit, but let's be clear about what it isn't. It isn't a direct competitor with, say, Arizona Western College.
Absolutely not. AWC has been doing an incredible job for decades. There's a dedicated staff there. AWC punches well above their weight. I mean, their degree completion for two-year degrees is really the shining star, you know, for the state of Arizona. So they have that 100 and 200 career course level, they've got that covered. And that wouldn't be the kind of resources that we'd be seeking to bring in. Our goal is hopefully we can get more resources so that NAU, UA, and ASU can do more of the good things that they do in distant communities and get those baccalaureate degrees and higher delivered here in the greater Yuma region.
Why do you think this idea, instead of, say, I don't know, a light rail connecting AWC to town and South County, or taking the lead in expanding broadband or building something in South County, why do you think that this idea resonated with people and, in particular, the business community of this region?
Well, I can tell you that, you know, some of those questions, I hadn't heard light rail, but some of those questions, you know, still have yet to be answered. It's important that we recognize that that we've got to think bigger than any one city. The southern part of Yuma County is growing faster than the rest of it. And in fact, in the next 9 years, the student population is estimated for Somerton and San Luis school districts, once that Somerton school high school is online, to be nearly as large as Yuma High School, Cibola, and COFA, three of our other high schools. So that growth in the southern part of the county is one of the real opportunities that we have. And to continue that thought, San Luis, 79% of San Luis High School graduates are already going on to post-secondary education. One of the challenges that the Multiversity is seeking to overcome is that many people that come from the Yuma region that start college, they don't finish, they don't complete that degree. And so we're not just looking at creating more access for higher education. We're looking to ensure that we've got resources to make sure that people complete their education. So as far as where these resources will be deployed, that'll be a decision made once we complete phase two of the project. If there's enough necessity, which is one of the questions that phase two is designed to identify. Now, I can tell you, talking to our existing primary employers, there's significant need. And many of our key primary employers are not feeling enough connectivity to the population in the greater Yuma region, and they're forced to hire people from outside the area that often come here, stay here a few years, and then they leave. The other part of the Multiversity, just to kind of more forward, is going beyond our existing primary employers is where are we going in the future? What industry can a more highly educated population from the greater Yuma region help attract to this area so that we can bring in even more high-tech, high-wage earning careers?
What's amazing too is it doesn't take much. I did an interview just this year with ASU that expanded its social work program to the community and let students who were from Yuma actually do their programs in Yuma. And the idea is that, you know, those 40 people are going to stay in this community and then do that work. So, you know, you think just 40 people, but that can make a real difference in a community.
Absolutely. Every bit of it moves the meter. And ASU, I mean, ASU has gone from 40,000 student engagements a year to 300,000 student engagements a year. So they're definitely one of the successful institutions of higher learning that are doing great things. We want to make sure that we're identifying for them more of those career paths that are better developed here. And I don't want to take anything away from NAU and UA. Dr. Tanya Hodges at UA has grown that school from no students about a decade ago to 200 students. So, I mean, we're already seeing some of these things grow. We'd like to bring in more resources.
A lot of the promotional material on the website talks about access for low-income students. How could Yuma Multiversity guarantee a lower cost if you're, say, partnering with these other institutions? What's the plan and how to approach them on that?
Phase two is which we're in the process right now of our responses for our RFP are expected next week. Phase two is really about identifying that. Is there a way? What are the best practices happening elsewhere to help reduce the cost of education? Because number one, you've got the cost of an education you started and you didn't finish, and you still owe for the education, and now you don't have the degree. So you probably don't have the earning capacity to pay back the loan. That's a huge problem that we need to seek to solve. And the other areas is where is there enough demand for skilled talent in our region that we're currently forcing people to go beyond Yuma to attend those courses and take on additional costs for room and board, for example. Where are those opportunities, and what are the best practices to help address the cost of education? That'll all be a part of what we're going to deliver in this collaboratively developed phase two.
What about this is driven by a desire, really a need, some might say, in this community to revitalize Yuma's downtown region? What is the talk in your meetings about the possibility of new businesses down there and really a new life for that region?
It's really important to recognize, because as I said in planning documents for downtown, certainly you've seen that vision of wanting more higher education. And if you're going to offer higher education, many consider best practices to offer that in a walkable and bikeable environment. But the really discussion of any siting, if any brick and mortar is required, will come after phase two is complete. Now, as I said, you certainly look at what ASU has done in Tempe, and they've turned that into Disneyland for higher education. I mean, it is amazing in my professional life, having gone to that area for the last 35 years from, you know, originally from out of state. And having seen the transformation there, it's unmistakable the vibrancy that brings to Greater Tempe. But you look at the collaboration between ASU and UA, that they actually went all the way over to Phoenix and have developed some higher learning programming there. So it's certainly about being in those walkable and bikeable areas. Now, as it relates to Yuma or San Luis, yes, certainly offering those kinds of college experiences, not taking anything away from the AWC campus, which is marvelous, but that will be a question that will be answered down the road, is if there is siting for expanding, you know, to those 4-year and beyond programs here in the Yuma region, where is the best place to make that happen? But that'll be a question that will be discussed by all, you know, involved once phase two is complete And the questions are answered, and then we look at phase three.
We're talking with Jim Schuessler, President and CEO of Yuma Multiversity Campus, Inc. We've been talking about some of the planning for the Yuma Multiversity, including how transportation fits into the mix.
Well, I can tell you that the city of Yuma, for example, right now is inquiring as to transportation needs, and I encourage everyone that cares about transportation in the Yuma County region to get on there and answer that survey. We have a good transportation model, but certainly improving transportation, and it is in phase two, the discussion of that, but addressing our present future transportation needs are going to be crucial because we need to move people from point A to point B, get there efficiently and cost effectively. And so with the growth of our area, that's going to be crucial to recognize. One thing that when you really step back and you look at the Yuma region, and I'll call it Yuma County, because that's how we're subdivided, but we've grown, our population here in Yuma County has grown over threefold in the last 50 years. That is astronomical growth. Yuma County is now among the top 10 counties out of over 3,000 counties, in the 50 states. We're in the top 10 by population, top 10 percentile by population. We've grown that much. And usually your infrastructure doesn't keep up with you. And so, addressing transportation will be crucial. It also speaks to higher education infrastructure. And it's not being critical of our universities and certainly not AWC, but we've grown more than most. You have other parts of the country that have lost significant parts of their population. They have a much older population. And they're just trying to hang on to liberal arts universities and colleges because the demand for their infrastructure is no longer anywhere near what it was, say 50 to 75 years ago.
You've talked to me a little bit about the funding for this phase two study. You got the recent funding to do that recently. Talk a little bit about how important that sort of influx of resources is.
Absolutely. The wonderful thing is there are programs at the federal level that provide support for regions like Yuma that are looking to accomplish forward-looking things. And so, number one, Yuma Multiversity is now a nonprofit organization. Due to COVID, it took a lot longer to get that done than what it typically would. And so what we did is we struck a partnership with Greater Yuma Economic Development Corporation. So Julie Engel and her team were gracious enough to align with us, and they actually were the applicant for the grant through the U.S. Department of Commerce's Economic Development Administration. It makes a lot of sense for GYEDC to do this. They've identified six pillars for future economic success here, and four to five of those pillars really speak about upping our attainment and access to higher education, so that we've got the skills necessary to attract more businesses and make sure that our companies that we currently have are have a good strong pipeline of talent. So EDA certainly looks to stimulate a strong entrepreneurial ecosystem. They certainly want to make sure that the populations have the types of skills that they need to qualify for higher wage jobs. And Yuma County currently hits a lot of the marks of areas that they would be concerned about. Our unemployment is very much higher than the rest of the country, and our per capita personal income is much lower than the national average. So those are things that they focus on, and then they bring your resources. So this is a planning project right now. It'll be a collaborative planning project. In other words, we're going to be inviting, we already are in the process of inviting, having all of our primary employers, our institutions of higher learning, our school districts, and our elected officials, because you can't get anything done without elected officials, and other stakeholders, the nonprofits that care about advancing higher education. All of them are going to be involved in the development of the strategic plan. So it's all hands on deck to make sure that we've got agreement on this is what our region needs to ensure that our present employers are well cared for, and that pipeline of talent is being developed, and also that our region can continue to attract more employers to our area.
Both based on planning and based on your experience in economic development, what's a realistic timeline for, say, first class?
Unfortunately, I can't answer that. I wish I could just circle a date. I can tell you that it's going to take 8 to 9 months to deliver phase two, but I'm going to be serving as project manager for that, making sure that all the right people are at the table, the facilitation, that we're having the right meetings in the right places, and that we're moving forward and making sure that the project is delivered on time and on budget. So we expect 8 to 9 months to have a completed strategic plan. It's going to require a business plan behind that because sustainability is key. The taxpayers are not looking for a perpetual burden. So in the long run, anything that comes out of this ultimately has to be sustainable. So that comes. But I can just tell you this, is that we're working on things that quite frankly should have been done here 50 years ago. And I'm not being critical of the past. It is what it is. What we're doing is working on the present and the future. And so the goal is to make sure that we're providing more deliverables as quickly as possible. And so as phase two goes into the field, no later than July 1st, that I can assure, I will be working on the elements of phase three. I've already mapped out, some of the ingredients in it. And phase three will answer your question. Number one, it's a question of if. This is not a guarantee that it's going to happen. That would be, inappropriate to make that assumption. But certainly getting to the question of where do those resources come from? And then how soon can we get those things through the pipeline? And programming could conceivably start first. Remember, we've already got, good university players working with AWC. So how quickly can we deploy resources to up our game with programming?
According to your online bio, and I just mentioned, you do have deep experience in economic development. And I wonder how this idea for the Yuma Multiversity strikes you compared to other projects you've worked on, other projects you've heard about. It seems unique, if not entirely complete, in its planning.
I'll admit that I feel spoiled because, I've worked with some economic development organizations and some heavy manufacturing areas, and there's a lot of moving parts that go into economic development. With the Multiversity, yes, there's a lot of moving parts, but it's one project, and so I feel blessed that when I wake up every morning, and get ready to hit the day, that I'm focused on one project and bringing all those moving parts together. I can tell you that earnestly, I'm not familiar with a region in America, especially when you bring together the growth that's happening in our region. I don't know of an area that will better benefit from additional investment in ensuring that access increases, because access is there for some but not for others, and that completions take place, overcoming all of those reasons why people don't finish, that we have that. Typically, people stay where they go to school, or a lot of people do. And so that is a situation where we'd be forcing a lot fewer people to leave. I'm not trying to keep anybody here, but we certainly don't want to be forcing people to leave. And we want to be able to create that kind of an ecosystem. So I've never experienced a place where there was a more acute demand and necessity for access of higher education and those fulfillments, and an opportunity that if those things are achieved for GYDC, the team at GYDC to accomplish additional business attraction. We've got an industrial park in San Luis that is shovel ready and in a great city that is ready to engage, new companies coming in. And about a year ago, the city of Yuma, their economic development director got a big grant so that they could build up more of their industrial park. So having those shovel ready sites is key. So, to bring it around to the core of your question is I've never seen a place where the need, was more acute and where the opportunities present, because the greater Yuma region really brings even international cooperation. We are in a really great spot on the map right now with all of this cooperation that we have, the forefront ED cooperation and bringing all these things together, I feel that we have a strong shot at success.
I've only got about a minute left, but I have to ask you this because I noticed and knew from reporting that you joined our community back in February of 2020. And within a month, your ability to hit the ground running was pretty well impacted by COVID-19. Tell us about those first months.
I'm blessed, and I want to thank the Jessen family for finding a little spot for me at the Gowan Company. And so that's where Yuma Multiversity, that's where I office every day. And it's an international company. It's a worldwide company. And so they definitely felt the impacts of COVID, you know, early. The culture is phenomenal. And so being able to work in that environment was amazing. COVID helped us in some ways. I can tell you that I did from day one. You know, the first meeting I had was with an incredible person, Vic Smith of JV Smith Company. It was at first thing in the morning on the first Monday in February. And he definitely provided a lot of insight and vision for this area. My engagement was very heavy those first 6-7 weeks. I mean, I was at Marine Corps Air Station Yuma. I was up at YPG. I was engaged, you know, with Yuma Regional Medical Center on several levels. And so I am so grateful that I hit the ground so hard running. Then when COVID hit and it was impossible to have those direct meetings, we quickly shifted to virtual, and I just had to become very efficient, you know, at making those virtual meetings work. And it's key because you really need to flush out what people are thinking. You know, you don't want to have a meeting at the end of that time that you've invested together. You don't have enough that's going to help influence all of the work that you're doing and that I was doing in phase one. So it was a strange time to start, but if there's no positive of COVID, but it certainly allowed incredible focus and a time to incredibly just put total 100% focus on phase one and make sure that we had all of that engagement that we needed.
Jim Schussler, President and CEO of Yuma Multiversity. And I'll just remind people, you can find a lot more information about Yuma Multiversity at yumamultiversity.com. Thank you, Jim, so much for your time.
Lou, thanks for the opportunity, and you have a good afternoon.
And that's our show for this week. Arizona Edition is a production of KAWC, Colorado River Public Media. Questions or comments about the program are welcome. Send them to news@kawc.org. You can also hear this program again or past Arizona Edition programs at kawc.org. I'm Lou Gum. This is Arizona Edition. Thanks for listening.